Hi everybody. So we are going to be talking about generosity today. So first of all, I'd like to say that it's good to be back, and Ramadan Mubarak to all of those who are observing. Ramadan Mubarak to all of those who are living in this region as well, because it is something that we are all experiencing. I'm very happy to be back. I really missed being here. And so that's always a good feeling when you're coming back with just this, excitement of being back. So, So today we are going to be talking about Ramadan. Cancel that. Oh my God. This is going to be hard. Usually it's makes a lot more sense in my head, but last night I had like a weird night of sleep, and I am fasting obviously, and so be generous with your feedback as you consider your feedback. Moving on, I wish there was a way to like edit these so I could just like cancel out everything I just said and start from 11 minutes and 11 o'clock, never mind, 11:04 is where we're gonna begin. All right, guys, we are here. We are going to talk about generosity. So what is generous? What does it mean to be generous? What does generosity mean? And not in like the dictionary sense. What is not generosity? And what is it that you can do to be more generous? Okay, that's what we're going to talk about today. That's the plan. Now, when we think about generosity, we think about it as being someone who gives money, right? He was a generous donor. She's such a generous person because she's a philanthropist. So we always link it to money. And that is a very big component of generosity. So we, I'm getting distracted by the comments because everybody's like, we didn't see anything. But thank you guys for being so generous with me. I will address some of the questions that you guys had about generosity. So I have them all here, and we are going to be talking about that. So those of you who just joined, we are speaking about generosity. What is generosity? What is not generosity? And what can you do to be more generous? I am going to be speaking about generosity in a broader sense, and not in the sense that we usually think about generosity, which is to give money. Now, I am speaking about this in Ramadan because I know it is a time of a lot of giving. People are giving food, people are inviting people over, people are giving money. A lot of the zakat, which is one of the pillars of Islam, which means to give of your income and your savings to the poor, that also goes out during this month often. And so a lot of times people are really thinking about generosity as being something related to money. But I really want to broaden it out for you guys while holding that money thought in our head, because it is also important to give of our money, because you give of the things that are hardest for you to give. Okay, and sometimes money is easy for people, and it's just like, okay, let me just give her this and she'll just be quiet, or let me give my kids money and then they won't bother me, or let me give my friends money, or let me host this party and be done with it. And we do it because we're checking a box, and we're just doing it from a place of a place that is not a generosity of spirit, okay? And that generosity of spirit is what I'm talking about today. So, and I want you to think about, so many. If I walked up and down the street maybe not this street, but another street where there are people, or if I ask you guys, like, do you value generosity? Do you think it's one of your values to be generous, or to have generous people in your life, or to, you know, to raise generous children? Majority of us will say, yes, yes, I would like. For me, generosity is very important. But I want you to think back and just track your day yesterday. How many acts of generosity did you do? I want you to track your day the day before. How many acts of generosity did you engage in there? And perhaps the answer will become a little bit clearer when I tell you what those acts could be. But we are what we do, not what we believe, right? Believing is important, part of being. We believe, we feel, we think, we imagine. It's all part of that, but we do. And our acts will eventually lead to our destiny and who we will become. I cannot become a swimmer just by imagining and believing and thinking and watching and dreaming and writing and journaling about swimming. I've got to do swimming in order to be a swimmer. And so that's going to be a very important part of us living our values, is being super deliberate and intentional about how we live those values, and saying, what did I do today? What did I do yesterday that was generous? Okay, so yes, so what can you be generous with? All right, belongings and money are obviously the easiest answer and the one that we are most familiar with, so I won't spend too much time on that. However, there, I will tell you a little bit about the research, that sometimes we think that if I have more, I will give more. And the research actually shows the opposite. The research shows that people who have more money tend to be less generous, because when we become, when we earn more, we start to become more self-sufficient. And the more self-sufficient we are, the less empathetic or connected we might be to those who need. So we have to be very engaged and intentional about giving the more money we actually make. And oftentimes we say, well, I only have a dollar, or I only have $10. What, I need to keep that for myself. And I would say that you give of what you have. You don't wait till you have more money to give of that money. I remember something I read when I was very young. I think I was 12 years old, about, you know, a kid who had a dollar, which is why I said a dollar, a kid who had a dollar, and his father said, you give of the dollar. You don't wait till you have 10 or you have 100 or you have 500. You give of that dollar. So the way you would want to split that is, maybe you save 33 cents and you give 33 cents, or you and you spend 33 cents. You could do it evenly that way, or you could give more. That would make you more generous of what you have, and then save enough or keep just enough for yourself, so you have enough to feel comfortable, but not where you have, you know, a lot more than you need. So that's kind of how you want to think about money. And thinking about giving money, you don't wait till you have a lot of it. You maybe cut back on some of the things you need to be doing in order to give of that money. That's all I will say about money. But let's think about generosity as a generosity of spirit, okay? And when you listen to someone, when you are not distracted, when you are attuned, when you give of your time, and you're just fully just present with that person, that is generosity of spirit. When you are giving of your attention to someone, So when a child comes to you and they're talking to you and you're sort of on your phone or on your laptop and not really listening to them, that is not being generous in that moment. Putting that down and saying, I am going to give of you this very, very finite resource that I have, which is my time. And I'm going to give that to you. Undivided attention, here you have it. So giving of your attention is also generosity. Giving of your gift, when, you know, nothing you have belongs to you. This is, in many traditions, this is what is said. In the Islamic tradition, this is what is said, that you are just the disposer. You know, you are the dealer of affairs, but you are the source of deliverance, but not the not the one who holds. You're not the bank, basically. You are the teller, and the bank is the source. And if you have been given money, it does not belong to you, just like the teller doesn't own the money in the bank. They are just the ones giving out the money. So you are here. If you have been given money, if you have been given talent, if you have been given a gift, if you have been given education, it does not belong to you. And so when I give of my time on Instagram, or when I'm doing our community talks that we do at the Lighthouse, or any of the team members do those community talks and we do those free of charge for the community, that is because this is our duty. This is not, it doesn't make you necessarily even a righteous person in some sense, or a generous person in some sense. It is, you are giving of something that was bestowed to you as a, what do you call that word? That word is slipping. It is an amana. I can't think of the English word. Where you are just holding it to be able to give it to someone else, okay? So this is where you give of your gift and your talent, and you give it generously. It is not a tit for tat, okay, let me do this and I will get that, and you give me this and I will give you that. Like, when you start to think like that, that is not a generous spirit. When you, you know, one of the things that is actually the hardest for people to do, and I see people all day long, by the way, whether it's on social media, whether it is in person, where they talk about all the wonderful things they do, but then you kind of, oh, that's the word, custodian. You are a custodian. If you have been given a gift, or you have been given money, or you have been given talent, or you have been given time, or you have been given a loving heart, or you have been given the ability to cook, or whatever it is that you, it, you are a custodian of that talent. It is not belonging of you. That's the spirit of generosity, that it doesn't belong to me. It is not mine to keep. It is not mine to withhold. I am just a custodian of it. You have been entrusted with it, okay? So I love that. I really just love that, because, you know, someone I hold very dearly actually said to me that I hold money in my hands, not in my heart. And it must come from my hand and go from my hand. If I hold it in my heart, then maybe I will get attached to it. And that attachment leads to a lot of suffering and a lot of greed and a lot of shame and all the other issues that might come forth with when we think about withholding something and attaching ourselves to something. So thinking of yourself as a custodian is a beautiful way to think about generosity. Whatever you have, whatever you have been given, you are a custodian. Give of that, okay? Now, going back to what I was saying before, that was about generosity of interpretation. Now, I'm not sure who coined this phrase, but I've heard Alain Duboutin talk about it. And this is where you are generous with the interpretation of people's actions. Of course, you would want people to judge you by your intentions, but you don't judge people by their intention. You judge them by their action, and you judge them harshly. How could she do this to me? How could he do this to me? And can you believe she did that to me? Not a very generous spirit right there. And so being generous in your spirit when someone hurts you, when someone, you know, and they may not even mean to hurt you, right? So many times we think someone is ghosting us. They may not be ghosting us. They may be having some sort of absolute crisis in their life, and they just can't respond in time. Or they may be so deeply overwhelmed by what they're going through in their work or in their home life or in their marriage that, you know, they might have read your message, but they didn't respond. And we say, oh my God, she's so self-absorbed. You see that? That is you not being generous within your interpretation. That you didn't hold the whole person, the past, the future, the present of that being when you judge that action. That is not being generous in your spirit when you think about generosity of spirit. When someone, you know, for example, and I, the person that comes to my mind as I think about generosity of interpretation is my son. And, you know, he often can drive me crazy, as he's the one I told you guys about that, you know, my mom said, I hope you have a kid just like you. And then out came this kid and he's just like me. So I drove my mother crazy, but you know, he drives me crazy oftentimes, but I come at it with like, I'm genuinely, and I'm not trying to be generous with him. It's just with him, there's a space in me he triggers where I'm actually wondering like, what's going on with him? Like, why was he like that with me? Why didn't he write back? Or why did he just walk away, you know, stomping? I hold the whole person in my heart when I judge that one action. I'm not, oh, he's so selfish and he's so disrespectful and he's so... When we start to label people, we lose that generosity of interpretation. And we don't interpret their behavior with the whole being in mind. Hold the whole being. Open your heart. Expand your heart. Hold the whole person. And then judge this one moment in time. And you might hold it. You might actually judge it like a lot less harshly if you are to hold the whole person in your heart as you work through whatever it is happening in that moment. Generosity of interpretation is the hardest thing to do in today's world. And linked to that would be forgiveness. Forgiving someone, because that's what generosity means, right? The Latin root word is of, you know, it comes from generosus, which is to be of noble birth or magnanimous. Magnanimous, actually magna, meaning great, and animus means soul and spirit. So animus means spirit or soul. And being great in your spirit, that is what it means to be generous. And being great in your soul. And it is the opposite of being petty. It is the opposite of being miserly or closed-hearted or scarcity mindset, not with this kind of abundance mindset, because underneath generosity lies trust, lies an abundance mindset that there is more and there will always be more. And there is not like, oh, do you love her more or do you love me more? Or do you care about this person more or do you care about this person more? Or should I give to this person or should I give to this person? Like, should I give this hour or should I give this hour? It is coming from this place of I will give because there is enough to give. And I will receive because there is an abundant source that will give to me also. So it has this trust when, you know, when I'm trying to think, oh, should I give this person this much money or this much money? I go with my first instinct because I was like, oh, I feel like giving in this moment. I want to give in this moment. And then I'm like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't give that much. Maybe I should give some to that person and some to that person. Mm-mm. You give what came to you first, and then you also give to the other people that showed up in your mind with this idea of you are obviously not, you know, hitting the bottom of the barrel for yourself, but having enough where you are surviving and you're living comfortably, and then giving of that the rest of it. So giving of forgiveness is something that most people will not necessarily be thinking about often when we think about generosity. That's why all of these, you know, whether it's kindness, generosity, gratefulness, all of these fall under this kind of humanity value. So there's an overarching umbrella, and underneath that, it's all the same. Kindness, it's very hard to tease that out from generosity. It's very hard to tease that out from gratefulness. It's very hard to tease that out from forgiveness. And so, who do you have to forgive? And why can't you forgive? Maybe we talk about that next week, but it is giving to others who don't have. That's what magnanimous means, generosity means, right? Giving without expectation, giving to those who have less than, giving love to those who might have less than, because we know that if someone is really hurting us, they're probably hurting themselves also. So I will give you love because, you know what, I've done my work, I've done my healing, so I'm giving this to you. And that is a little bit harder to do. You know, trust me, it is not an easy one for me to give to someone who has hurt me deeply, but that is where the healing comes in. And when you heal, then forgiveness comes easier. So we'll talk about that maybe next week. So why be generous? And I'm a psychologist. I care about mental health, and I care about well-being, and I care about healing. And why would I be talking about generosity? Because it is really good for your health, guys, overall health. And I don't want to talk about mental health and physical health as two separate things, because it is truly about your overall holistic health, mental, physical, spiritual well-being. So it reduces cortisol, it reduces your blood pressure, it reduces inflammation, it lowers your cholesterol, obviously, because all of your, you know, engines also sort of, you know, organs work together. So if you think about this psycho-neuro-immuno-endocrinology, when you are feeling good and generosity, when we give to others of all the things that I mentioned, then we actually feel good. And when we're releasing things like the oxytocin and the dopamine and the serotonin and all of that in our bodies and our brains, then we are reducing all the things that are harmful for our body, and then we have more energy and we have more health. And so it actually is a really beautiful thing to do for your well-being. You know, I heard, and I don't know who said this, but I heard that when I feel I don't have enough, when I feel like I don't have enough of something, I give it away. And that is something that I've decided to practice. I've been practicing it for quite some time. When I feel scared about money, I give money. When I feel scared about time, I give time. When I feel scared about love, oh, I don't have my love, I don't have love, I give love. And all of a sudden, it feels like I have enough. It's a very strange thing that happens. So try to do that, you know, in your life. And so people who are just joining, we're talking about generosity today, and how generosity is about generosity of spirit, of being great in your spirit, of living open-heartedly, wholeheartedly, it's, and how it's linked to your overall well-being and healing, etc. So what I just said was, if you don't think you have enough of something, give it away and see the magic that happens. It truly is magic. Let's see. What generosity is not, all right? Let's talk about what generosity is not. So when you are generous, you give without expectation. And the way I usually hold that in my head, or when I hold that sort of idea in my head, I think about depositing it into my higher, higher self account. So it's between me and God. It's not between me and that person. So when I say I'm going to give, I say, God, I give this in your name. Or higher self, I do this for you. So whatever language you want to use, you really are holding that higher bank account of, karmic account in your mind, and not the other person that is in front of you. Because if you give and you like wait for a thanks, then you are doing it for something in return. And if you give and you're like, oh, well, at least you could have said thank you, now it became about you and this person. And now you've sort of lost the benefit of that. So the benefits are not internally, spiritually, are not going to be as good for you if you were to just give with the deposit of this higher account in mind. Okay, so give with that in mind. If you are doing it for approval, if you are doing it for control, if you are doing it because you want something in return, if you are doing it because it looks good for your profile, if you are doing it because it looks good for your brand, then you are doing it with the wrong intention. And in many traditions, including the Islamic one, mean it is that when an action without the right intention is nullified. And we pray 5 times a day. People who meditate, people who eat mindfully, you set the intention and then you engage with the action. You set the intention and then you engage with the action. Why? Why am I setting the intention? Because the intention is everything. And some people are like, they say the intention like that. No, it's really about pulling the energy and saying, this is why I am giving. So sometimes we can lose, right? And we can lose ourselves because, for example, I might be doing it with the intention of saying, I want to do good for my community. And I might get money in return for that, or I might get popularity in return for that, or I might have like a newspaper article written about me in return for that. But I didn't do it for that intention. So I hold still and clear about my intention. You might get all of that in return, but what happens most often, guys, and this is where people lose their way. This is how people lose their path. Because they might start off by saying, oh, I'm doing it for the community, but all of a sudden they gain notoriety, they gain popularity, they gain likes, or they gain followers, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, I've now got to do it for the followers, or I've got to do it for the popularity, and they lose the initial intention. And then it becomes a worldly endeavor. And it loses its joy, and it loses its meaning, and it loses its heart, like the fulfillment that you get from your heart, that contentment, that authentic happiness, because you got too sucked in to the rewards rather than the intention, okay? So I said, if you're doing it for something in return, and if you have an ulterior motive, I'll do this and maybe she'll get off my back. No, that is not generous, guys. It's a good start. Keep doing it. But if you're doing something for something in return, it doesn't count. And if you are doing... if you are doing it out of convenience, then it probably has less of a reward internally and spiritually, etc., for you. So I'll give time when I have time. Not as meaningful as if a friend calls you and says, I really need you right now, and you say, I'm gonna make time. You see that? Like, none of us have time. None of us have, you know, all the money in the world. None of us have all the things that we ever wanted. Like, it's giving of, giving not when it's convenient for you. That's going to be very important. When we give without, you know, and when we consider the other rather than when we consider ourselves first. So empathy, again, another value that is very much linked to generosity is going to be empathy. Let me get out of my shoes, let me get into yours, and let me feel what you are feeling, that compassionate, attuned way of being with another person. And that might also mean that you have to consider the other person before you give. If you give someone, you know, this exorbitant type of gift and they don't have the means necessarily to give something back to you, or maybe they don't have anything that they can give back to you, that weight that they might feel might be too big for them. So really considering the other person and saying, what would be good for them? What do they need? What do they want? Rather than what am I comfortable giving? That would be the generosity of spirit, greatness of spirit, okay? So let's talk a little bit about how to be more generous, and then I can take some questions after that. Please put your questions in the Q&A box because I'm not gonna be going scrolling up. So take all your questions and stick them in the questions box, and I will take questions at the end. So how to be more generous? So like I said before, guys, just because you think you have a value doesn't mean you are living that value. Just because you love kindness and love and light and all of the beautiful things that we see on Instagram and on our social medias, if you are not living that, and most importantly, when it's inconvenient for you to live that, then it is not a value that anchors you. And an anchoring value is, it's literally like a guide, like a compass. It guides me throughout my day. It's not something that I do once a week on selfless Sundays or self-care, whatever day you choose of the week, or, you know, I will be grateful at dinner time, or I will be grateful during my prayers. No, guys, it is a way of being that we are trying to engage, okay? And what you do eventually becomes what you are. Aristotle said, we are what we repeatedly do. And so excellence is then a habit. And a habit is what you do every day, not what you do once a week. So what are you doing every single day that actually, without you saying, oh, these are my wonderful values, if I were to ask your friends, hey, tell me about your friend so-and-so, and they would say, oh, she is so kind, and she's so loving, and she's so generous, and she's so thoughtful, and she's so fair. You know, is she so forgiving? Could people say that about you without you having to report that to everyone as your values? Values are lived and felt throughout your home. They're not taught only, and they're not said only. I can say all day long to my kids, oh, be kind and be loving, and then I, you know, yell at the grocery store attendant or the car in front of me, or my, you know, my admin team at work. If it's not something you live every day and they can't see you doing it every day, then it is not a value you hold as an anchoring value, okay? So look at your last 7 days and say, what did I live? And that will be your value. Now, let's think about other ways we can be generous. So one, I want you to take out your journal and I want you to write out who are the generous people in your life. Who have you interacted with? They could be living, they could have passed on, but who are or were the generous people in your life, and what made them generous? What about them made them generous? What did they give to you that you would say that they were generous? How did they give to you? Really tell me a story. Well, don't tell me, but write it in your journal. But write about those people, because those are your inspiration. You learned about generosity through those experiences. And there will be others who will learn about generosity through experiencing you. There is something called social contagion in psychology, where, you know, we can actually be contagious, for good or for bad. Fear is far more contagious than generosity. But through my giving of my time, of my smile, of my energy, of my excitement, I'm coming in with the intention that, guys, the mood is heavy today, I'm gonna give of my energy. I'm gonna come in, I'm gonna be light, I'm gonna inject humor, I'm gonna give. Even though I might be exhausted in that moment, but I'm gonna give of my energy today to the team, to my family. And through that, they will experience the generosity that I have, and that might inspire them. And so this generosity will then get passed on. I don't care if it gets passed on. If I have left one person in a better state than I found them every day, then I've lived a good day, right? And so we think about it that way. So this, I don't need you to pass it forward. I need you to just receive it. And hopefully in that experience of receiving it, something will have changed in you and you will do what you need to do with that. So the second question I want you to think about in your journal is, what is easy for you to give? Because sometimes it's easy for you to give time. People might be easy for them to give food because they have access to food, or they know how to cook, or any of the above. It might be easy for you to give of your talent. It might be easy to give of support or sponsorship. You know, so when people sponsor each other or they support each other on Instagram, it might be easy for you to do that. It's just a repost. And you say, okay, I'm supporting this person. I really like this person. So that might be easy for you. So write down all the things that are easy for you to give. Number three would be that write down what is hard for you to give. This is gonna be the growth area, okay? The growth area is the stuff that we're like, that's probably where there's a complex that you need to work through. So if you feel a little bit scared to give something, then you need to work on that, because that's a signal that something is hurting inside of you. Number four, write down all the different areas of your life, your work, your personal life, your family life, your romantic life, your personal development, your community, the world, right? All of these things. These are the different areas that are of concern to me. Now write down how you can give something in each area. You know, Benjamin Franklin, from US history, Benjamin Franklin, he was super serious about his virtues, okay? He was like, listen, we've got to live our virtues. If we don't live them, they just remain abstract in this kind of, you know, theoretical space outside of us. And so he had this little notebook, and it was almost like a little notebook that you can sort of keep in your pocket. And he would keep this little notebook in his pocket. And on top of the page, he would write the virtue or the value that he was trying to cultivate. So if I'm trying to cultivate patience, if I'm trying to cultivate kindness, if I'm trying to cultivate gratitude, if I'm trying to cultivate generosity, I'm gonna write it at the top of the page. And then I'm gonna write Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then I'm gonna put all the times I was generous today. And then I'm gonna write all the times I was generous tomorrow, intentionally. And the Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. And then I'm gonna look back and say, Monday was not such a generous day for me. I'm gonna try a little bit more intentions. And he would start his morning with an intention, with that value in mind, with those values that he was struggling with in mind. So it was like, maybe pick three that you are struggling with. And then every day he would track it. Just like if you were trying to increase your water intake, or you were trying to increase the steps that you take, right? You track them. What you cannot, what you don't measure, you cannot manage. So measure the acts of generosity that you are engaging in. And if you just sent off this big check at the beginning of the month and then you're doing nothing generous the rest of the month, maybe you need to think about that a little bit. And, you know, maybe thinking about not just giving in this month. There's 12 months in our year. Like, maybe thinking about giving all of those months, right? Because there's people that need food and money and all of these things all the time, not just in Ramadan. And so it's really about saying, how do I carry what I have felt and experienced in this, we feel so light and we feel so good when we give. How do I carry that over the rest of the time? That's what the spirit of Ramadan is. It's not just like, let me do everything good that I possibly can in this month and then, like, you know, hit the cruise control button the rest of the year. It's a month of experiencing something which we then take with us. It's a month of detoxing, and then we remain detoxified throughout the year. Kindness, love, all of that. And so track it in all the different areas of your life. Now, and then number five, no value is complete. No value is complete unless you exercise it with yourself. I have seen absolutely kind and considerate people who are so mean to themselves. Like, when they talk, I'm like, ooh. Like, when they talk about themselves, when they look in the mirror, when they talk about their work, they are so mean. And I'm not even talking about, like, critic. I'm not talking about critical. I'm talking about mean. And it's like, that's not, like, we need to come 360 with this kindness. And we need to come 360 with this generosity. Like, it needs to be a way of being, a way of your spirit, right? And if my spirit is generous, I'm gonna be generous with myself too. Also, I will give to you and to myself also. I will be kind to you and to myself also. So this is going to be very important. Now I'm going to take some questions. So that was me talking about generosity, okay? You do, feel, do, feel, do, feel, become. So thinking, doing, feeling, become. Thinking, feeling, doing, become. Before thinking will come intention. Thinking, feeling, doing, become. It is really starting from the top all the way to a way of being. I'm gonna start with an intention. I am generous. I am grateful that I am generous. I usually write my intentions as if it's already happened. I am generous. I am grateful, right? I'm here. I trust in the abundance of the source. I am open to receiving from the source and being a vessel of that source. I live and give open-heartedly and wholeheartedly. Intention. These are my thoughts. and I feel so good as I say them. And then I act, and then I do it again. And then I do it again. And eventually, it becomes a habit. And what becomes a habit becomes internalized, and what becomes internalized becomes a way of being. Literally, this is how you do it. So you've got to start with the intention. And then it cannot mean anything unless there is an action. We've got to put the all the way through. You've got to see it through. Okay? All right, let's take some questions. How can we stay generous after being wronged by people? Well, as I mentioned about generosity, generosity is also being generous of interpretation and also being forgiving. And you know, I've written lots of posts about forgiveness, and I don't believe forgiveness can happen unless we heal. So this is really about healing yourself, and that generosity sort of will become easier when you heal. So when you are wronged by people, it's going to be very important that you do your work and you say, what came up for me? What is here for me to do something with? Rather than focusing on the wrong of the person and the wrong of the person and the wrong of the person, which is where we become hyper locked in. We just focus on the person and how could they and how did they and what did I do wrong and why did they do this to me? We get so locked up in the story that we forget that there's like all this other stuff that we need to be working on. Take the story and then go in and do the work. And I've done lots of Instagram lives on what that means and the healing journey and, you know, the inner work and. So go look at that and that might help. Now, I do believe that you have to have boundaries and you have to consider energy, your energy. Everything is energy. Money is energy. Time is energy. Energy is energy. Like, you know, you need to consider yourself. And if someone is abusive, then you need to build your shield and draw your boundaries. You don't need to necessarily communicate those boundaries with those people, but you need to say that I'm going to limit my interaction with this person. Because most often when I'm assuming, when people talk about boundaries, they're talking about people in their life. They're not talking about like a stranger or someone at work that they can just like sort of ignore. They're talking about people that mean something to them, family members, husbands, wives, you know, parents. These are the people that we have the hardest time drawing boundaries with. And so how do I remain generous while having, the word boundary just, I know it's very triggering for people because it just means that there's a block between me and you. So don't call it boundary, just call it a way of being. Just call it whatever you want that is not triggering. And so for me, the word boundary always feels too rigid, maybe, right? It feels inflexible. So I don't use that word very often when it comes to just the way I relate. I use power. You know, where is my power? What power do I want to give to these people? I use energy. I talk about, you know, I use these words and I feel like they have a little bit more, they're a little bit more fluid than the word boundary, which feels very rigid and scary. So call it whatever you want. I don't know who came up with the word boundary, but you don't have to use that word if you don't want to. I'm very, very particular about language and the energy that it releases in me when I say the word boundary. The second I think of boundary, I think of boundary wall. I think of someone keeping out, and it doesn't seem to have these, like, it's not porous necessarily, right? And it's not a flexible thing necessarily. So please use whatever words work for you, but make sure it's your word. And if boundary is the right word, then use that word. And you know what? For some people, there kind of needs to be a boundary, like a boundary wall with a door in it. They can come in and out, but I'm locking the door and I'm controlling the key. And so I will let you in when I let you in, and I will let you out when I let you out. And so maybe you do need the boundary for some people. But for most people, we're talking about, you know, the people in our lives that we struggle with that have hurt us. And I think it's very important that we are generous in our interpretation. We are generous in the way we forgive people, but also that we're learning our lessons, we're doing our healing, and we are communicating that there has been hurt. And if you are resentful, if you are feeling drained, if you are feeling just spent, then you have not been generous with yourself, and you have not considered yourself, and you have not been kind to yourself, and you have not been loving to yourself. You have not shown up for yourself. So if you are having these kinds of feelings, then you need to check in and say, what's that all about? Because you might actually be giving to people out of a fear of rejection and a need for approval. Because if I don't give them that, and if I don't say yes, then they won't love me. Well, that's not really being generous, and that's not really being giving. And that actually is coming from a place of fear. And that's what's actually being injected into your system. And fear is really bad for our health. Really bad. And so we don't want fear inside of us. And so we really need to then go back and say, why am I so afraid to say no? Why am I so afraid to say, I can't really go out with you this evening? I'll come see you on Saturday. Why am I so afraid? That might indicate some codependency where you give too much of your power to other people and do not stay in your power. You give your power of feeling loved to other people and you don't stay in your power. And so that is the work of healing. And that is a journey that you need to be on. But when you've done that work and you can sense when you are in a place of power, you don't feel overly responsible for other people's feelings. Then you're not accommodating all the time. You consider yourself, you consider your energy, you consider being able to be present with the other person when you actually do give to them, okay? So that's going to be important. Someone said, how do you deal with toxic generosity? And there is no such thing, guys. Everybody, you know, I'm not really sure even what that means. Anything is toxic, I guess, if you do too much without consideration, right? If you drink too much water, it can become toxic. Like, you've got to consider. You've consider yourself, consider the other person, consider your values, consider how much you have, consider how much you can give. Like, anything can become toxic when it is not done with consideration or done with like some deliberation, right? When we read things about, oh, love and light and kindness, and we just do it, but we haven't actually internalized, like, what does that really mean? And how does that really show up in my life? And where am I lacking? And what am I doing? Like, if you're not considering things that you are reading, critical thinking is what is lacking in many people, where people are like, be positive. And it's like, okay, I'll go be positive. And it's like, but I'm grieving the death of my father or the death of my mother. It's like, no, you don't have to be positive all the time, right? This is when we take something for face value and we just run with it. And it's without considering, is this fitting in my life? And how can I have this fit in my life? And when? And how can I personalize it to what that shows, what that looks like for me? And this... This is really hard for me to explain on here, but it's actually really frustrating because I have to think 1,000 times before I say something, because I go into the mind of how many ways it can be misconstrued, construed, thought through, all of that, And that's not my job, right? My job is to say, for example, the post I posted today, let it go. Now everybody's gonna be like, okay, just let it go. But don't let it go unless you really have thought about it. Like, keep it because it's here to teach you something. Don't just let it go because it came into your life to teach you something. Don't let go of your pain until you know that, why was it there? What did it come into my life to teach me? Let go of the story maybe, but stay. If you're hurting, hurt. Make space for that. Now as I say this, don't just do that all day either, right? Make space for that in your life and then do the rest of the things you need to tend to. Because I can't just sit in my pain all day long when I've got 4 kids and I've got a business and I've got a husband and I've got my parents and my in-laws. Like, I've got to give attention and honor and consideration to my pain, and then I've got to get on with it. So learning how to compartmentalize that, et cetera, et cetera. So you see how when you just say, let it go, and you just run with that, or you say, be generous, and you run with that, or you say, be positive, and you run with that, it becomes toxic. Because you're saying, this is the only way I will ever be, and it just doesn't work. Now, I will say that generosity of spirit is a way of being, and kindness is a way of being. I can really not have anything to do with you and decide that I no longer want to have someone like that in my life or in my energy sphere. And I can do it with love and kindness. I don't have to be aggressive. I don't have to be resentful. I don't have to be, you know, spiteful or vengeful. I can still do it with love. I can just say, we walked a path together. We were good for each other. Now we're not good for each other. And I leave you with love. That's it. So it becomes a way of being, right? And that's, I think many people don't really consider that. But yeah, so don't just like take this thing and then just like put it everywhere in your life. It has to be considered, and it's hard work. And no, there is no formula and there is no algorithm. You have got to do the work for yourself in your life, and you've got to personalize everything you read. Everything you read, whether it's on my account or everything you hear, and you've got to say, well, how does that make sense for me? How does that make sense in my life? And if you don't know the answer, then you've got to do the work. And if you don't know how to do the work, then you've got to work with someone who can help you do the work. One question, and then I'm going to leave it at that. Guys, if I didn't answer your questions, please direct message me, because I would love to answer those questions in, like, you know, stories or something, or some other way. I would love to answer those questions because I'm like running out of things to say. So please ask me your questions. One question that was just asked of me was, how do I teach my kids to be generous? Be generous. Talk about generosity. Talk about giving. Talk about people who are in need. Talk about giving of your time. Talk about why you do the things you do, how you do the things you do. You know, this was something that my mom really used to do a lot. She, you know, in the Islamic faith, it says if your right hand gives, your left hand shouldn't know. Unless you are doing it so that others may be inspired. Now, this is about the social contagion theory. And so my mom used to give a lot, right? We didn't have a lot growing up. We were comfortable, but it wasn't like, you know, we were, you know, wealthy in any way. We were wealthy in our values and in our love, but not necessarily financially. And my mom, you know, we were very frugal in the way we lived and considered the bills and can we do this and can we do that and we have to save for this and all of that. But my mom and dad, they were super aligned in giving to their community and giving to their family members, giving to the places back home where people were in need. And so at dinner, she would say, you know, and she would talk to my dad, or and then she would tell us that, you know, this guy called and he said that the roof in his house was leaking, and so I'm gonna send him money. That's it. Drop. There was no discussion about what do you think and why. She would just say it. And it was like, oh, okay. She gave money to someone whose roof is leaking. Okay, done. And it was probably like not even registered consciously in my mind, but she just said that unconsciously. And that sort of, you know, that was something that was a very lived value in our home. I would see her being super generous with people when it came to interpretation. She would make the 77 excuses for people and say, you know, they were probably just in a bad mood, or I don't know why she said that, but I'm sure that she had a good reason. And these were people that she loved, but who might have hurt her in a moment, but she would always be generous in her interpretation, to the point where sometimes I was a little bit annoyed of that, but she would just be generous with that interpretation of that person and held their whole experience in mind when she judged that one moment. And so this is what I saw her doing. When there was a death in the family, she would go and she would take us along and we would sit and the person would tell the stories of the person who had died. She would just be very, very present in her community, in her family, in the money, in listening, in giving. And so this is what I saw growing up. Never was it said to me, not once can I remember, you must give of what you have. Never. And it lives in me. Children do what we do, not as we say. They are watching you. They are listening to you. When you are talking bad about that person on the phone with the other person who's not there, you know, who, with the other person on the phone talking about that third person, they are watching you. They are hearing everything you say. When you hold back and you say, man, I really just want to unleash right now, because I do that a lot. Like, I just really would like to lose my mind, but I'm going to breathe. They're watching you. I'm not saying, guys, we need to manage our anger at home. They're just watching me manage mine, right? They're watching me manage my stress. They're watching me exercise. They're watching me meditate. They're watching me pray. And soon enough, it will be what they become. And so we need to talk through some of the things that are going on in our head. So obviously, if I give, you know, if I'm doing iftars in mosques in different parts of the world, I'm going to tell my kids, like, listen, I'm going to do it in the Philippines, I'm doing it in India. I'm going to tell them that. I'm going to show them the pictures. I'm going to share what we are doing as a family. But that's it. And it's not going to be preachy or teachy, but this is just what we do. And again, guys, I don't see this as something that I am so wonderful in doing. This is an amana. This is my, what was that word again? I am just a keeper of this, and it is my job to dispose of this in a way that is meaningful and helpful for the community. So think of yourself as someone who is entrusted with whatever you have. Everything you have can be that. You are the custodian. You are the person who has, you are the keeper. You have been entrusted. And trust that there is plenty. And trust that there will be more. And keep giving to that karmic account, to God, to your higher self. Operate from that place and disconnect from any return in this space. Trust me, the return on that investment is a whole lot higher. So I hope that this was helpful. Please send me your questions that I didn't get to, because there was a lot of questions in that questions box. And then maybe we just follow on with this, because if you guys are having this many questions, and I'm going to try to explain that maybe next week. So I look forward to seeing you guys again next week. Take care, guys. Bye.